Our passage is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 to 15. Before I read the text, let me just tell you a few things of what's going on here. In these final chapters of 2 Corinthians, last four chapters, Paul is doing something that happened a lot, dealing with false teachers in the church. There are some false teachers who have entered into the Corinthian church and have deceived many. And these false teachers obviously have a different theology from the Apostle Paul. They're teaching a false gospel, he said a few verses earlier, and a false Christ. And of course, these people, in order to get a hold of the church, in order to try and take control of the church, they have to undermine Paul's teaching. And they've been speaking against Paul, and they've been speaking against Paul's theology. One of the things that they have emphasized, that we saw this in the previous chapter and again into this chapter, one of the things they emphasized was that Paul is not really a good preacher. He's weak, he's poor, he's foolish, he's not worth listening to. Unlike themselves, who are pretty awesome. And so in today's passage, Paul addresses another accusation that they have against him. And then he just goes off and decides to blast them for everything that he has. So, let me read you the whole text, verse 7 to 15. Paul says, "Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." In the ancient world, teachers, philosophers, rhetoricians, public speakers normally did not work with their hands. They expected to be paid for their services. The more famous you were at teaching, the more money you could charge. And the more money a person charged, the more people expected you to be something pretty special. The more famous you were, the more you could charge. Similar to universities and colleges today. If you look at a university today that charges you $60,000 per year, you know, you're like, well, that's got to be a good university over there, because, I mean, look how much they charge. That one there only charges a couple of thousand. They can't be as good. Okay? So the bigger the name, the bigger the teacher, the more he could charge. It was improper for such men to be working with their hands, to do manual labor. Well, unlike the other teachers of his day, Paul, when he arrived in Corinth, he got a job. He became a tent maker, started, you know, working with his hands. He did not get support from the Corinthian church. There were times when Paul did accept support from some churches, but never from Corinth. Never from Corinth. And the Corinthian church apparently found that strange, that he never accepted any money from them. Now, you may not find that weird. You may like the idea of not giving money to church. But that church was like, wait a minute, here's an apostle and a minister who gets supported by churches, but he won't take our money. Why is that? This was a whole issue back in 1 Corinthians, and now it's an issue again in 2 Corinthians. Probably it has to do with something with the false teachers accusing Paul of something. We're not exactly sure. Perhaps they said something like, yeah, you see, we told you. I mean, if this guy is self-aware enough to not take any money, it means that he knows that he's no good. He doesn't have anything worth saying. That's why people don't pay him. All right. Maybe. We're not sure exactly what was being said against him, but we can get an idea. And so they are confused and concerned at why is it that Paul won't take our money? And so Paul starts off in verse 7 and he says, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preach the gospel of God to you free of charge? You're accusing me now of not because I didn't take your money. Paul arrived in Corinth. There was no church. Okay? And the brothers who were with him on that missionary journey had stayed up in Macedonia. And so he had no money. And so he could have said, okay, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop the mission. I'm not going to preach until I get enough support, and then I'll do it. But he didn't do that. He was like, no, I'm going to preach no matter what. And if I have to work and support myself while I do it, that's what I'm going to do. And so he did. And so he got a job, and it wasn't until the brethren from Macedonia came down and brought some more support and helped him. But he still was not taking any money from the Corinthians. And he says, I lowered myself by getting a job, which teachers are not supposed to do. I lowered myself with manual labor so that I could lift you up, so that I could preach the gospel to you, so that you could be saved, so that you can leave the darkness that you're in and come into the light. That's why I did what I did, so you can leave all these dead idols that you're following, so you can follow the living God. But, you know, people are like, what will people say? What will people think? What kind of preacher, what kind of teacher has to go do manual labor? It's not gentlemanlike. And he says, I don't care. Paul says, I don't care. Paul had said in the same context back in 1 Corinthians, he had said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. This is what I'm doing. And whether I get supported or not, we're doing this. That's what I'm going to do. And he says, was it a sin that I lowered myself so that I could lift you up? Isn't that what Christ did? Isn't that being Christ-like? Jesus Christ humbled himself, left the glories of heaven to become a human being, to die a shameful death like a criminal, so that people can be saved. That's what Christ did. And Paul says, was it a sin for me to come give you the gospel for free? A few chapters earlier, Paul said, Jesus Christ, though rich, became poor, so that through his poverty you may become rich. And it's a sin for me to try and do what Jesus did, trying to get the gospel to you for free, and you don't like that. Never happy. Verse 8, he says, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. So yes, on some occasions he did receive support from, but it seems like he never received support from the place that he was ministering at the time. When he would go to a new place to preach the gospel, he wouldn't preach the gospel and say, okay, well, that's going to cost so much. He didn't do that when he went somewhere new, but he would accept support from other more mature, established churches. Okay, and he says, "I robbed other churches to minister to you." And I don't. That doesn't literally mean that he stole their money, but you know, we know that from other places that the churches in Macedonia who helped him out, they were poor churches, and so he felt bad to have to accept their money when they don't have money. But he's like, I did that for your sakes. So we know that he took money from some churches, but he never took money from the Corinthian church. You know, we were discussing this the other day. People have a hard time accepting grace, that salvation's free. always, it's the default position of humanity to try and work your way to salvation. So Paul is trying to, even in his preaching the gospel, to try and mirror that, to show it's free. It's free. Here it is. Here's, trust Christ. I don't need anything from you. Trust Christ. And so he's trying to teach that lesson to new believers and converts. While at the same time, other more mature churches can learn to try and support those who are going out into the mission field to spread the gospel. But again, as I said, at this point, and the church in Corinth has been a church for several years, but Paul still will not accept money from them. And so, here's what he says in verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Okay? Even though Paul's policy goes against the customs of the day, which is for teachers to ask for money for what they're doing, he says, yeah, I'm not stopping. I'm not going to start taking money from you now. The way that I've been doing it, I'm going to continue to do it in the regions of Achaia. Achaia being the northern part of Greece where Corinth was. He says, I'm still not going to accept money from you. And it seems that they found this offensive to some degree. You know, what's wrong with that? Well, you'll take other people's money, but you won't accept our money. What's wrong with our money? You know, we're giving you a gift, and you're rejecting it. That's insulting. They didn't like it. What, don't you love us? Are we not as good as others? What's up with that? In verse 11, he says, why? Because I do not love you? God knows. This is sad, because Paul, who had sacrificed so much for these people, and now he has to prove his love to them because he gave them the gospel for free. He says, you know what, I'm not getting into this anymore. God knows if I love you or not, so we'll leave it at that. Verse 12, he says, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Here's what he's saying. He says, you know why I'm doing what I'm doing? I'll tell you. You know why I'm not taking your money? So that the false teachers can't say that they're like me. I'm drawing a line. I'm not like them, and they're not like me. Okay? Because you see, they say that they're servants of Christ, like me. They say they're apostles of Christ, like me. And there's no way they're going to stop taking money from you, so I'm not even going to start taking money from you. I want to make sure everyone knows we're not the same. That's why I'm not taking any money. So we're different from them. That's one way to do it. That's one thing that they can't boast about. Giving the gospel for free the way that I do. We're not the same. And so he deals with that. And at this point, he is just kind of fed up and sick and tired. He's been talking about these people for a chapter and a half now. And he just explodes and uses some of the strongest language you will ever read by the Apostle Paul. Here's what he says. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Paul has already said that these people preach a false gospel and a false Christ. Now he says they are false apostles. So Christ has not sent these people. They are deceitful workers. So they're pretending to be workers of God, and they're not. And the Corinthian church has accepted them. The Corinthian church has accepted these people as their teachers. They're paying them. They're paying these people to teach who are actually preaching a false gospel. That's the church in Corinth right now. See, this is why doctrine is important. They're deceiving them into believing a false gospel. I had spoken in another church once. And I had spoken about some of the evils of the Greek Orthodox Church. And when we were done, a gentleman walked up to me and said, "There is no need to be confrontational. There is no need to start fights. You don't need to oppose all these other churches and all these other religions. Why fight?" Now, it's true, some people like to fight just for the sake of fighting. But to oppose nothing, to never fight, is careless. It's foolish. Do you realize that most of the New Testament letters are written in response to false teachers? Do you realize that most of the Old Testament books are written in response to false prophets? This is what the Bible does. It deals with falsehood. It exposes it. It says, this is not true. This is the truth, not that. If we care about the souls of people, you have to point out error and say, that is not true. That does not lead to salvation. That leads to hell. Paul says these people are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Other translations say they are masquerading as apostles of Christ. They're putting on masks and they're pretending to be something that they are not. Look at verse 14. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness." Stop right there. Earlier in the chapter, Paul had said, I'm really worried about you. I'm afraid for you, because I'm afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve, so these false teachers, I'm afraid they're going to deceive you. And so he put the serpent, Satan, on the same group with these false teachers. And now he says, you know, Satan pretends to be something that he's not. And so it's not weird if his ministers do the same thing. Did you know that Satan has ministers? His ministers, Satan's ministers, do the same thing. There are people who minister for Satan. There are people who preach for Satan. But they're doing it with Christian language. So that that's why it's deception. He's not going to come out and say, forget about Jesus, just worship me instead. He's not going to do that. He's going to make it sound Christian. But he's twisting it. There aren't any other specific Bible references that speak of Satan transforming himself into an angel of light, but the constant theme of Scripture is that Satan is a deceiver. He doesn't come to you as Satan. He comes and pretends to be something else. And so false teachers do the same thing. They pretend to be preachers of Christ. There's this gentleman Christian man who is very knowledgeable about the Jehovah Witnesses. And he said something one time that blew my mind. He was talking about the Bible that Jehovah Witnesses use. It's called the New World Translation. Okay? You ever come across that? And he said the New World Translation is the most anti-Christian piece of literature ever created. And I was like, whoa, that's a strong statement. Why? Because it's masquerading as a Bible and it's not. If you look at it, it looks like a Bible. It says Bible on it. You open it up, Genesis, Exodus, Matthew, Luke, chapters, verses. It looks like a Bible. But they've twisted it all over the place to fit their doctrines. So it looks like a Bible, but it's not a Bible. Satan is a deceiver. And it's not strange if his ministers do the same thing. This is why we need to be so careful. This is why we need to be so careful. Because Satan doesn't come full-blown attack. It's on the side. He'll play with words. He'll play with terminology where it'll sound okay. But then it's false. Doesn't a woman have right to do whatever she wants with her own body? Of course. Of course. Of who would be against such a thing? Pro-choice. Of course. We won't talk about killing babies. Never mind that. Just make it sound, of course. Who would be against a woman having control over her own body? Even doctrinally, we can look at things like, is hell real? Come on. Because God is love. That's what the Bible says. God is love. So how could God send people to hell? You know, you take a bit of the truth, and then you just kind of get wrong observations and falsehood with that. That is Satan's goal, to deceive you. The same way that he deceived Eve. He didn't just go and say, forget about God, never mind what he said. No. He said, God, what he said, he didn't do it because you'll die. You're not going to die. He knows you'll be like him if you eat of the fruit. Oh, why would God do that? Yeah, because he doesn't want competition. Oh, strange. That's the way he deals with us. And so how do we respond to this kind of attack? The only way is to grow in our knowledge of the scriptures, to walk humbly with our God. The more we learn the mind of Christ, the more we can protect ourselves against false teaching and false attacks and the deceit of Satan. And Paul ends this section with a very simple but strong statement. Second half of verse 15, speaking of these false teachers, he says, whose end will be according to their works. Paul foresees the final judgment, and he says, these people, in essence, he's saying, they're going to go to hell. In Galatians 1, he talked about people who are preaching a false gospel, and he said, they're anathema, cursed by God. And in essence, he's saying the same thing. He's saying, these people, they're not Christians. They're servants of Christ, and they're servants of Satan, and they will be punished accordingly. The day is coming when we all will stand before God to be judged, and we're not going to be judged for what we pretended to be. We're going to be judged for what we truly were, because God knows the heart. Let me say one last thing, and then I'll close. One last thing about the language that Paul uses here. There are two extremes that people may take when they read Paul saying these are ministers of Satan and they're going to go to hell. There's two extremes that people take when it comes to this kind of language. One extreme is people hear Paul using that kind of language, and so then they go and they use it all the time for everyone. There are so many people who, if you don't believe exactly what they believe, if you don't do everything exactly the same way that they do, you're going to hell. You are, we were talking about this the other day, two people having a discussion. We agree on this and this and this and this and this and this. We agree on pretty much everything, and then we're getting down to the minute details. Well, we disagree on that. Heresy! Okay. There are people who will say that we're all going to hell because I just read from the New King James Bible and not from the King James. That this is a translation of Satan. Okay? And it's like, let's calm down a bit. Calm down a bit. Okay? We need to take it easy. Okay? So there's some people who get very extreme, and anyone who is not exactly like them are servants of Satan and they're going to hell. Let's slow down a bit. Then there's the other extreme, though, with people who would never use this kind of language. Never say such things. They would read this, and Paul is just going way too far. You can't talk like that, call people ministers of Satan, say that they're going to hell. No way, we can't do that. And the problem with that extreme is that we can become too accepting. We can become too tolerant of things that we should not be tolerant of. Because there are things that are truly evil. There are things that are truly satanic. Should we take what we hear all the time about the Roman Catholic Church with child abuse and stuff like that? That needs to be pointed out. That is not okay. That is evil. That is satanic. That is diabolical. Should we talk about liberal churches in America who are promoting homosexual marriage and things like that? These things are not okay. These things are not of God. These things are from Satan. Okay, so you have to point some things out. But we have to be careful. We have to have a balance here. Deal with those things. If something needs to be dealt with, you deal with it. And other things, you know, relax. Did Paul use this kind of language? Yes, he did. He does it here. He does it in Galatians. But not all the time. He's wise enough to know when he needs to talk like that and when not. Did Jesus talk like this? Yes. Jesus spoke to people, called them children of the devil, sons of hell. How are you going to escape hell? Okay? But not all the time. He was wise enough to know when he needs to speak like that and when he doesn't need to speak like that. Okay? And we need to be the same. We need to know when to fight, when not to fight. When we need to point out the evil and when we need to be patient with some people because they're not quite on the right track, but, you know, we'll deal with it. Okay. But when it comes to preaching a different Christ and a different gospel like these people did, it's not just, well, we got different traditions and we do things differently. No, it's time to fight. And so these are fighting words right here by the Apostle Paul. And he's not going to stop, and it's going to be a fascinating passage as it goes on. But let's pray.